Joshua chapter 5, did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. All right, so up to chapter 5, what we did was we were with Israel, as it were, as God was getting ready to bring them into the land. We have to realize that the crossing of the Jordan in God's mind isn't really bringing them into the land, but bringing them into the death, the Jordan death, the death that is required as you go into the land. And if you will, it is, guys, how will I say this, Lord, help me. It's like an official, this is it. But there's going to be a personal application of that cross in Gilgal. And it's going to be literally personal in their flesh. It's going to be as real can be. So, as long as we read these scriptures as history, then we're not going to get much. We're going to say, well, that applied to them. But we know that the Spirit of God can take these things and make them not just the Old Testament version, but the New Covenant version. And I personally, and, you know, I don't know anybody that preaches Christ and Him crucified that doesn't share these scriptures. You know, it's just a part of it. But very few have I ever heard, except one sitting back over there, that's ever really shared on Gilgal. Not to the extent that, you know. And I'm hoping that Ben will be able to get a chance to share with you some of the things that the Lord shared with him. And in some ways I'll be going around that, because I remember what you shared, and I believe it's the Lord, and I believe I believe it runs along with this. So they have done that. They have the ark, which represents the Lord's presence, went in first. Jesus died, as it were, as himself. But he also brought us into his death. And which in a sense is two different deaths. One is his death, but he never sinned. But he's bearing the sin, but he never sinned. He's dying for us. He's dying for others. But when he's bearing us, we're going into the sin offering of his death. So it's really two different deaths, and I don't want to get into that. I'm just going to share that. And again, I believe that the Word of God is seeds, and I believe that the Lord has given me the ability to plant seeds instead of it all be about a great understood sermon. It's rather a whole bunch of seeds that he'll bring up at his time and in his way for you. So, Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. All right, so this is the effect of the cross. This is when the enemy starts hearing about that which has passed into the cross and died and come out on the other side, and Christ is your life. They know they are defeated already. They don't even have to fight the battle. That's good news. You know, that's good news. So it's not the same. Like, really honestly, picture this. If you're on the other side and you haven't crossed over, they're ready to take you. They're feeling strong. They're, you know what I'm saying? And they can rush, bull rush you, you know what I'm saying? They can bull rush you. But you get on this side of the cross.
Praise God.
And the enemy, their heart melts. And they have no more spirit anymore. All right. Is the cross valuable?
Yes.
All right. So this is the doctrine of the cross valuable?
No.
Not in light of this. This is not a doctrine. You could write all this down, put it in a little booklet, make the cover really nice, and then show that to the Amorites and see what they do. They'll laugh, take it, probably eat it just to scare you, and then jump on top of you.
Yeah.
You know. But this, if we can only really, really get the spirit of what's going on here, this is it. This, you can know of a surety that I have given you the land and that I am among you. So in God's mind, this is the height of the trip so far. Okay, it's the height of the trip. Now it'll be even higher after they come to the launch pad and God has said, okay, there's this and this and this and these things need to be set in order. And when they are, you'll be ready to take the land. But you have to pass through the Jordan. You have to pass through, as it were, in Him. And you have to know what that means and not just preach it without any understanding at all. It's like, God, help us. How about we do that again? Can we pray right now? Father, we just ask you to help us to understand what that means. And it's, the scriptures are great, and many times the truths that I've heard over the years are great, but I want it. We want it. We want it in working in us and the reality of it to overrun our minds, our carnal minds. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, not because we're worthy, but because we love your Son, and we want your Son, and we want to give you your Son. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
So, God before this time in Egypt had done many miracles, you know, all the things that he did in Egypt. But the enemy as a whole, we're not just talking about the Egyptians, the enemy as a whole that they would face trying to take the land, different. The enemies that you face when you're trying to take the land
Amen.
Are different
Yes.
than the Egyptians.
Amen.
So all the miracles in Egypt has not done one thing to all those enemies Amen. That you're going to face.
Yes.
It hadn't scared them. It hadn't moved them. It hadn't, you know, touch them in that sense. The Red Sea, yep, floating Egyptians. But every Amorite, well, you can just go through all that list because I can't remember them and I have a hard time pronouncing them. And that's why they're enemies. No, that's not why they're enemies. Enemies to my tongue. So, not until the cross are the enemies finally scared.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so now there's an end. Now, not until the cross, there's an end. And as it were, if in the Spirit the Lord breathes this to us, finally, there's going to be an end of everything that keeps trying to keep us from taking the land. You know, these things, they're like, some of you don't know this, but in Texas, we have chiggers. They're like chiggers that are they will burrow into our minds and into our flesh and mess with us. I'm not talking about the chiggers. I'm talking about the Amorites and the Girgashites. Okay, so at Gilgal, they finally come to rest, but it's not really rest yet. It's not rest because they embrace the cross as a whole and they embrace the cross of Christ for Jesus, and somehow that included us crossing the Jordan. It was Jesus' death, and that included us, Jordan River. It was Jesus' death, and that included us, and we came across, and then he closed it up. There's another application that is incredibly important. Incredibly important. So let's look at verse 2-3. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children at the heel of the foreskins. So what is God saying right now? We just crossed the Jordan. There was a death. He's saying it's time to apply the cross personally. Amen. In your flesh. Not just in your... Yeah, or in your mind, or in your how you know, oh yes, I see it. Well, you need to do more than see it. It needs to be cut into your flesh.
Amen.
And that's what's about to happen. Gilgal is the place of... Gilgal is the place of in the land application instead of everything that's been tried to be applied outside of the land. First time.
Woo. Praise God.
I'm glad. Some of you... Should I say it again?
Yes.
Gilgal is the place of in the land application, not what they were just across the Jordan or when they were traveling through Moab or around them or all these other nations or going through the wilderness. None of that was in the land application. It's time to get there. It's time to get there, and it's time to get the thing that's going to start this thing really rolling instead of... Think about the wilderness. I mean, they're fighting the enemy constantly. The Amalekites, there's one out there. The Amalekites... kept sneaking up on them from behind and attacking the weak. Mm-hmm. All these other ones, the Moabites and all of them, Ammonites, they're all coming against them. And everything Israel did, check it out, was defensive. Like a shield and then only reacting after they act. Think about that. It really was the case. They were all defensive. They didn't attack anybody until they got attacked. So they're always, you know, have you ever heard of being defensive?
Yeah.
They're on the defensive in the wilderness and in the process up to this point. But things are going to change. Internal things, not just... You know, there's a great reality, and I see it, and I died with Christ, and I'm really something. Christ is my life, and boy, howdy, am I something. Sorry for my Texan. No. This is a big, big time for them in Gilgal, the landing strip, the preparation, the getting the troops moved in, getting the equipment in, and all this kind of stuff, because we're about to have a movement that's going to sweep across this land, and we're going to take it for God. Yeah. So I'm trying to communicate how important this was to them, or how important it was to God's heart. Because all the talk about what happened spiritually across the Jordan won't mean anything until those sharp knives are applied. Those sharp knives are applied. The cross is applied personally. And now We just stepped into the land, but we're not taking it yet. We're just getting ready. Now the sharp knives are not for the enemy.
That's right.
They're for us. We're not going to turn them on the enemy. We're going to put it to us first. We're going to apply the cross to us in our flesh.
Yes, Lord.
Now that's where it's going to happen. Okay. You noticed a couple of the wordings, didn't you, that it says about the second time.
Yes.
I think there's more of an explanation in the next few verses. But so anybody here ever had problems in the flesh?
Maybe once.
Okay. There's several over here. There's several, and I appreciate them admitting it. You liars on this side. But there's, you know, until we submit ourselves personally to the Lord's cross, to the cross of Christ, you can't defeat your flesh because you're still letting it live. You understand me? You're still letting it be part of who you are. And you can say, well, I rebuke you. And you're the one pumping blood through me.
Yeah, right.
I rebuke you. You're the one that's given me life. You can say all, you can pray, oh God. Anybody ever done that? Oh God, just get rid of my flesh. Well, yes, it did happen at the cross, but you have to apply the cross to you. You have to settle it in your flesh. Can I get a thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Joshua chapter, I mean, verse 4, is still chapter 5. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way. Did you know that everybody that came out of Egypt didn't die? It was only the men of war. You know, it was. Because they didn't obey and go in and take the land. It wasn't everybody. It was only them. And we'll read it all, but here's what it's going to tell you. Their children, not all the children that came out of Egypt, but the children of the men of war were raised up in their stead, and they were circumcised then. Because if one of them was born in, okay, let's say the first year that they go into Egypt. Now, everyone was circumcised before they went out of Egypt and they go into the wilderness. And then the first year into the wilderness, mama has a baby. Then 39 years later, when they're getting ready to go into the land, he's never been circumcised. He's 40 years old. Mm-hmm. Or one that just happened last week. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. A wide range.
It's a wide range, yeah. But it's all it all has to take place. It all has to be in order to get to take the land, because there is absolutely no reason to go and try to take the land if in your flesh, God hasn't settled the cross.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
I mean, it's not, because then, you know, it's going to be a lie.
That's right.
You know, it's like him, you know, you come out with a big sword and he comes out with a gun and goes, you know, you go, ow. Anyway, that were males, even all the men of war died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Verse 5, now all the people that came out were circumcised. Okay? But all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed. because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. They, the men of war didn't. The Lord said, go in, let's take the land. They says, we're as grasshoppers. Oh, grasshopper. Sorry. I don't know why this stuff comes. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. But their children, whom he raised up in their stead, that's the men of war who died, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way, meaning passing through the wilderness. So, as it were, there's two different circumcisions, or at least two different times in which it was enacted. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to assume that the first circumcision, when they came out of Egypt, that the first circumcision should have had the same impact that this is about to have. But they didn't understand the lamb they ate or the deliverance that happened about water rolling back, and now they just experienced it again. See. But now they are on the brink, literally on the brink of what God wants to do, and it's going to be massive. It's going to be massive. And it's going to be a taking what God said was mine. That's what he says. This is mine. So, yeah, okay. When you read that, you see that in the heart of God, it's like you are no longer in the wilderness. He's trying to get that across. You're no longer in the wilderness. What if in their mind, this crossing the Jordan was no different than any stream or anything they crossed on the way to get there? What if it was that? What if they didn't get it? What if they couldn't conceive of it? What if Joshua, the one God instructed to lead them into it, what if all of his words meant nothing in the sense that they could not understand, we are out of the wilderness. We are on the verge of the greatest move we've ever been involved with. Applying the cross that was spiritually enacted, crossing the Jordan.
That's right.
But now we're going to make sure it's in our flesh.
Yes, Lord.
We're going to make sure.
Yes, Lord.
So that's not an issue. So that a little enemy in your flesh doesn't go,
right.
Well, you know, that's not dead.
That's right.
You go, shut up. He could just be a little guy. You know, Jetitude. Anyway, sorry. You knew that was coming, didn't you? All right, Joshua 5, verse 8 and 9. And it came to pass, and it came to pass, and it came to pass. Do you ever notice these wordings? It came to pass. You can talk about it all day long, but when is it going to come to pass?
Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah,
that's right.
You know? And it came to pass. And this isn't the only place in the Bible that says that. You know, these things are important. These things are important. If it says it came to pass, then you need to realize that this is coming to pass now, too. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day, till they were made whole. What is our definition of being made whole? We say, oh Lord, you know, make me whole. Make me whole. And we may be thinking of, you know, fix all the Amorites and Canaanites in me and make them calm and, you know, so that I am wholly given to you because I don't have problems with them. Or cut out the flesh until you've healed up from that. And now I'm with the Lord. That's my heart, and that's where I stand with him. So when you're wounded, especially if it's a deep wound, eventually it can become scar tissue, right? Anybody ever got a real bad wound and you still have a scar from it? Then what that means is that that wound gets worked into your flesh in the form of a scar. That wound gets worked into your flesh in the form of scar. You say, is this important? Well, we're going to look at a New Testament scripture shortly. All right. So a scar is a mark left by a deep wound. And he says, then the reproach of Egypt is rolled away. Okay. When the cross is worked in you, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this way, a rolling away, a removing. Circumcision is the removing of the flesh. At Gilgal, the flesh is separated and rolled away.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, let's keep your place there, but let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Now, what I'm going to do is just read these verses that I want to read to you. And I want you to tell me if this applies in any way to everything we've been talking about tonight. Okay? You just see if there's any connecting dots. All right? Ready? Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything. Come on, see if you can. Availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, a new creation, a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Would you pray?
Yes. Lord, you just opened your heart and you spoke to us from the generations of heaven, right from your heart, Lord. That was in your heart that we won't corrupt your way anymore. And I just pray that each of us will get a mark, your marks, Lord. And we'll press towards your marks and we'll get your marks. And you sear them into us, Lord Jesus. And your name will be on our foreheads, Lord. Just your scars, Lord, in a real way, the way you're bringing us to us, Lord. You brought us here, Lord, to give us these marks, Lord. And thank you, may we receive them. May they be seeds in us and grow in us.
Yes.
May our life be a scar path, Lord, if you know what I mean, that they grow into a scar, that we take a path that seed will grow into a scar. That our path from now on will be from your hands, Lord, your crucified hands, from the generations of heaven, from the beginning, Lord. saying this path that we take will not corrupt your way, Lord, anymore. And it will just, the seed, Lord, the path will allow that seed to grow into a scar and to a sword. And you will look at us and you will see your crucified Son. Respond just the way you want, the way you saw it in the generations of heaven, the way you saw it in the beginning, Lord. Let it be, Lord. Let it be in everyone, in the for this generation and for everybody, in the front row, the middle row, the back row, Lord, for everybody, Lord. For us all, in Jesus' name.
Amen. So Paul is standing on the other side in Gilgal, and he's looking back at what happened, what just happened. He's looking, as it were, at the death of Christ and us being born by him into death, so that we are dead with Christ. And he's saying with all strength of mind and heart, God forbid that I should glory in anything but the cross that just took place as we crossed the Jordan.
Yes, Lord.
That we glory in anything else, anything that's come before, any event, anything compared to this, that we glory in anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of the ark. How's he say it? By whom I am crucified unto this that I'm leaving.
Lord.
And I'm entering into all that he had planned, and all of it based on the life of Christ.
Yes, Lord.
I am by whom I am crucified, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. There is a break. And there is an entering in and there is a leaving.
Yes, Lord.
And that can't be theological, or I hope so. It has to be the real deal, right, Steve?
Yeah.
Amen. So then he says, for in Christ Jesus there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. He's not voiding out what they said, but he's saying for us, it's not just the act of physical circumcision or lack of it. It is that we have to be a new creature. We have to step in.
Amen.
Anybody ever read the story about Noah? Anyway, maybe I'm pretty sure y'all have. Anyway, when he stepped out of the ark into all of that freshness, it was not as it was before. It was a new life. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. And Noah just builds an altar. He glories in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule. What rule? Obey your parents. No. No. It is this rule that now that is gone.
Amen.
My old life is not me anymore. Yes. You have to say that. You have to believe that, but you have to see it and know it and then move toward it in your flesh. So, as many as walk according to this, peace on them, because there's not going to be all the, you know, flesh. There's rest.
Yeah.
Does rest sound good to anybody?
Yes.
Well, then go to bed. Oh, sorry. And then he says, and mercy upon the Israel of God. He's calling you the actual Israel of God, that not them. He's saying that was a shadow. You're the actual Israel of God that has entered into this. From henceforth then, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not circumcision, it's the cross applied. It's the circumcision of what? The heart.
Amen. Amen.
A circumcision of the heart. See, the scriptures talk about that, the circumcision of the heart. The heart. For I bear in my body the marks, the wounds of the cross have entered into me, and I've been made whole now. I've been made whole. They're scars now. They're no longer wounds. It's the marks. It's glorious to me. I love these marks of the cross in my flesh that show me and the enemies, the devil, the Girgashites. I don't belong to you.
That's right.
I belong to Jesus.
Amen.
And he says, well, prove it. And they're real marks as far as the Lord's concerned and as far as the enemy is concerned. Because you've embraced that cross that you crossed the Jordan with. You've embraced it and you've said, I'm personalizing this. This is going to be my cross. Not my message.
Right.
Praise God. So I wrote, those who have the marks of Christ crucified in their flesh will never want to return to Egypt. Those who have the marks of Christ crucified in their flesh will never want to return to Egypt. Their heart's been crucified. It's been circumcised. It's matched up with his death, with his wounds. It's all wrapped up in one. It's all of one. And, you know how the enemy can, you know, just torment you and press and do all this stuff and try to get you going and, you know, all the stuff that he does. When this happens, I'm telling you, it doesn't stop. It just doesn't have any effect. Not on that. Not on that. Not on that stuff. Because he is, you have accepted that. God forbid that I glory in anything. Anything except the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. Which cross? The one he died on? No, by which I am crucified to the wilderness. The Moabites, and it's crucified unto me. Those who have the marks of Christ crucified in their flesh will never want to return to Egypt.
It's really cool, just like, since the end of Genesis, at the beginning of Exodus, Egypt has been there, like their sword,
their nemesis or something.
Yeah. Just a cause of a lot of their problems. And it isn't until, like, you would think after they came out of Egypt.
Yep.
But no, it's right then. Now have I finally
rolled the reproach of Egypt away.
That's like way, this is like a whole other generation, but there's like several books later, and it's like,
both directions. It's good both directions.
No, it wasn't just crucifying the wilderness, but it was even before the wilderness. I also, it's all of that. That's really cool.
Amen. Like, yeah. Amen. All right, I won't belabor that, but I am telling you, especially this was prepared by the Lord for you, some of you, a long time ago. And he's told me to release it now. And he didn't tell me that until the other night. This is yours. And I believe by saying, or by me telling you that, I believe that all the force of what was in his heart is for you. Okay? All right, let's go to verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. All right, so they got circumcised on what day?
The
10th. The 10th day. And then here it says, yeah, so they entered the land, okay? They came in, they entered the land, they made camp at Gilgal. They were all circumcised. And once the wounds of separation from the flesh are healed, bingo, it's Passover. Is that a coincidence? Who said that? Now it's time to eat the lamb. Now it's time to really eat the lamb, okay? All right, that all this is so significant. It's just so significant. It's full of firsts for Israel. Okay, so think of yourself as this being your time. It's full of firsts for you. Okay, it is. Because you've got the first Passover in the land ever. That's God's feast. The first Passover in the land forever. And it happened in Gilgal. Wow. Their first Passover was Gilgal. We're going to see how precious Gilgal is to God. It's going to build up, okay? It's the first time they ate lamb after circumcision. Not the lamb of redemption, but the one that they will walk by now. You say, well, where do you get that in the New Testament? John the Baptist at one time saw Jesus walking, or saw Jesus, and he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There's the Lamb of redemption. But the next day he sees him walking. It didn't say he sees him. It says it sees him walking, and his disciples were with him, and he says, behold the Lamb of God. And his disciples left him and followed Jesus. It's the disciples' lamb. Wow. Okay? Said two different times, but the first time it said, that taketh away the sin of the world, the Lamb of redemption. The second time, he saw Jesus walking, and he went, this is a walk. This is not just an event.
Yeah.
And he says, behold the Lamb of God. And John's own disciples said, and started following him because they got it. They didn't just run after him and go, save me, save me. They said, we're supposed to follow this lamb. We're supposed to follow him. So, Joshua 11, 5:11, sorry. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. So the next day they celebrate what? Feast of Unleavened Bread. First time in the land. First time when it was done, where?
Gilgal.
First. Gilgal is getting all the blessings of the land. You know, they're getting all the firsts, and everybody goes, it's Jerusalem, or it's this or that, or da-da-da-da. They go, you know, all this. But here is the landing strip where God is preparing them in every way possible so that they will be ready, that they will be unhindered, that they will have thrown off the chains and go, let's do it.
Amen.
Let's go. Let's take the land. Anybody feel like that?
Yes.
Kelly, you want to pray?
Yeah. Oh, my dear Lord. Lord, we just and just open our hearts this way for the cross to come in a sharp sword, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, sharper than we've ever known, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, in ways that can bring forth your Son in a way that we have cried out for so many years, Lord, that we can receive.
the true Passover meal, Lord, in the sense of just feasting with you without all the enemies that is us, Lord, just the defilement. We can give you that, Father. It can be real.
Mm.
Father, we just open to you right now. We just ask that your spirit would be, even in this moment, quicken to us the importance of this,
yes,
place,
Lord.
Gilgal, spiritually. Open us.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We just say yes, Lord.
Mm. Yes.
We just say yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Where did the Feast of Unleavened Bread come from? It came from when they were in Egypt and they ate the lamb and they came out, and then before they fully crossed over, they were supposed to eat unleavened bread, because leavened bread will puff up, it will get bigger, it will swell up, it will be exalted, if you will. And he said, when you go out of here, it's also the spirit in which you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be puffed up. You can't be full of yourself. Well, what happened in the wilderness? They were.
Yeah.
And that's why he kept saying, none of this is really going to be any good till you get in the land.
That's right.
It's not going to be any good. No need, you know. I mean, you can preach it. We can all, you know, go, ooh, yeah, we got it, you know. But it's not going to be having it. Until you eat it in Gilgal.
Wow. Praise God.
Because all of it's being applied at once, and you're in the land of application.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's different. You got to realize it's different. If you don't realize it's different, this is just the same story over.
That's right.
This isn't Egypt, folks.
Amen.
This isn't the wilderness. This is the land that he wants you to enter into. And take.
Yes, Lord.
And take.
Yes, Lord.
He said, let's see. Well, it mentions right here in verse 11, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the next day after the Passover. Unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. And then verse 12 says this, and the manna ceased on the morrow, the meaning that next day, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. All right, so what does that mean? Well, in the wilderness, they're in the wilderness, and, you know, there's no food. It's a wilderness. There's nothing there. And God keeps saying, there's a land that flows with milk and honey. Chocolate milk and honey. I love it. And you can go to that land. But they're passing through this and they're saying, well, where is it? So what does God have to do? He has to, you know, there's much to this, but we'll just say he gave them miracle bread. They lived off of miracles. Okay? It wasn't natural, it was supernatural. But now they get into the land and they start eating of the fruit of the land. They start eating of the corn of wheat that has fallen into the ground and died and brought forth much fruit. John 12:24. It's fruit of the land that has gone through death. They're eating death. They're eating that which has died, and they're becoming the resurrection of that, but it's the life of Christ in them now. It's no more. As soon as they ate of the land, bingo, that was it. No more manna. You're not going to live off of that anymore. You're going to live off just, you know, it's the difference between all of the 9 plagues being miracles where God did this and that and did this, and then the 10th one being the Lamb of God that just dies. Okay, so now it's miracle, miracle of manna, 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 manna. You get into the land. In here, we don't live off of miracles. We live off of the corn of wheat that falls into the ground and dies. Now is the Son of Man glorified, Jesus said. Uh-huh. Except a seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. So they're wanting to put that seed into them. Mm-hmm. Not manna.
That's right.
But to put seed into them. To partake. And as soon as they do, God goes, yay. Can you see the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit go, okay, shut her down. Manna, no more falling from manna. I don't know if it's a big machine with an arm, but anyway, that shut her down, whatever. You know, the idea being, that's it. That machine won't, you know, it's going to sit up here and rust. Because we're not going to do that anymore.
Amen.
Praise God. Do you see all that's happening in Gilgal?
Yeah.
This is like crazy stuff because it's all on another ground than what they ever were before. And so if we walked through the wilderness, if we griped because there wasn't any food and then he gave us manna, if we griped it because of the leadership, because, well, why did you bring us out here to die? You know, take us back to Egypt. At least we had whatever they had. I forget. Garlic and leeks. I don't know why they like garlic because it leaks. No, I'm sorry. Just complaining about everything but eating manna. Did it change them? No. Give me another miracle. No, it won't change you. Just, if you would just do one more miracle, that's all I'm asking. No, all I'm asking is you eat the seed. You put it inside of you. And you become. Because that's what Jesus said. See, John 24 also has John 12, 25. Which includes us. Then he starts talking to us and says, come on, follow me in this. Time to start eating seed. I've walked all this time. These 3.5 years giving you miracles and doing and supporting you and healing this and doing that. But it's time.
Amen.
I'm going to go in. I'm going to eat this seed. And you're going to eat this seed.
Jesus.
And we're going to start living off the same thing. Because guess what?
Yes.
We're entering the land.
Amen.
We're entering the land.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was... you know what? I'm going to stop right there. Yeah, I'm going to stop. This is really good stuff coming up. So we'll have for sure at least one more go at this. And this next part is very, very important. There's a lot of angles and stuff. It's not just surface, da 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 da. There's a real interchange between Joshua and the Lord. And we it's absolutely important if we're gonna ever get into any kind of leadership position that we begin to understand this next phase because it's big stuff. It's big stuff. So we'll stop right here. Well, is there any hope?
Yes. Yes.
Well, the truth is, again, what happened in the Jordan is settled. Remember, the river closed back up. We don't have to go out there. But we can tell you that all day long, and you'll still worry unless you get it in you. Unless you get the cross in your flesh, unless you can bear the marks of the Lord Jesus in your own flesh, so that someone asks you about it and you say, look, see my hands? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm crucified with him.
Yeah.
I know I am.
Right.
This is my proof. And I'm not talking about a physical. I'm talking about the, you know, I'm talking about having it at work in you. It's the same thing that happened at the crossing of the Red Sea. I mean, the Jordan. But it's you getting it. It's yours personally. You have laid hold of it. And you're not just standing on the other side preaching, you know, hey, look at that.
Right,
you know, over there with Jettitude. Two of you over there going, hey, we got it. Amen. Somebody want to pray? Scott?
Father, we truly want these things to be real in our hearts. Help us to eat of your table, Lord, eat of these things that you are laying before us. Lord, we want them to be nourishment, not just things that go in and out, Lord, things that are lessons or anything like that. Lord, we want the reality of these things, Lord, to become who we are.
Yes, Lord.
Become who we are, Lord.
Yes.
As we take them in, Lord, that they would truly become who we are.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we're tired of just embracing teachings and embracing doctrines, Lord. We want you, the life and reality of who you are. We want that oneness that you speak of so often, Lord. That's what our heart is, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That is your desire also. It was your desire first. But Lord, Holy Spirit, don't let us up. Don't let us stop. Don't let anything get in the way, Lord, of where you're bringing us, Lord. We give you permission to just be relentless, Lord. Be relentless. And help us, Lord, to be relentless as well, Lord. Work that in us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Anyone else feel the need to make it personal by praying something? Just feel free to do that. You don't have to, just if you feel that right now from the Lord.